Please turn to Matthew chapter 17. Matthew chapter 17, and we want to read the first 5 verses to introduce our lesson. Matthew chapter 17, beginning at verse 1. And after 6 days, Jesus taketh Peter, James, and John his brother, and bringeth them up into an high mountain apart, and was transfigured before them. And his face did shine as the sun, and his raiment was white as the light. And behold, there appeared unto them Moses and Elijah talking with him. Then answered Peter and said unto Jesus, Lord, it is good for us to be here. If thou wilt, let us make here 3 tabernacles, one for thee, one for Moses, and one for Elijah. While he yet spake, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them, and behold, a voice out of the cloud, which said, This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him. On this occasion, Jesus was transfigured before 3 of his disciples. Those disciples were Peter, James, and John. If you're doing some research, you might find these 3 men referred to as the inner 3. That's an expression that's sometimes used in reference to these disciples because they were present on very special events that Jesus was involved in. And they were very close to our Lord. But Peter, James, and John were present on this very special occasion when Jesus was transfigured. His countenance was altered. Can you imagine what a sight that must have been? Moses and Elijah appeared with the Lord, and they talked with him. One of the other gospel accounts says that they spoke to him about his decease. Can you imagine how special that was for Moses and Elijah to make an appearance with our Lord? I've heard Peter ridiculed by some because of his response. Remember that the disciples had been asleep. They woke up and seeing this very majestic sight, Peter had to say something. Well, I've tried to put myself in that position. If I had been there, I don't know how I would have reacted, but I know this, I would have thought that that was a special event, seeing Jesus accompanied by Moses and Elijah. But there was something that happened that made that event even more special. God spoke from heaven. Now, of course, Jesus is there with his disciples. Moses and Elijah are there with the Lord. They're talking with him. That's a very special occasion. But then God spoke from heaven. First, God identified Jesus as his beloved Son in whom he was well pleased. That's not the first time that God had done so. Remembered when Jesus was baptized. There was a voice from heaven which said the same thing. This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. But on this occasion, when Jesus was transfigured, not only did God identify Jesus as his beloved Son in whom he was well pleased, but he went on to say, Hear ye him. Well, in our lesson, we want to place special emphasis on the fact that God requires us to hear his Son. So the title of our lesson is, Let Us Hear Jesus. Perhaps we need to begin by pointing out that Jesus is God's spokesman today. Let's turn to Hebrews chapter 1. And notice how the writer of Hebrews began his letter. Hebrews chapter 1. God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son. God has spoken through a number of individuals over the centuries, but now Jesus is God's spokesman. In the past, God spoke to the Israelites through Moses. Now, Moses was a great leader. There's no doubt about that. I'd love to study about that great man. And he had a long life of service to the Lord. He was a blessing to the children of Israel. Let's consider a contrast that is made between Jesus and Moses in Hebrews chapter 3. And the writer of Hebrews shows us that Jesus is far superior to Moses. Now, Moses was a great leader. There's no doubt about that. But Jesus is far superior. Hebrews 3, let's start at verse 1. Wherefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle and high priest of our profession, Christ Jesus, who was faithful to him that appointed him, as also Moses was faithful in all his house. For this man was counted worthy of more glory than Moses, inasmuch as he who hath builded the house hath more honor than the house. For every house is builded by some man, but he that built all things is God. And Moses verily was faithful in all his house as a servant, for a testimony of those things which were to be spoken after. But Christ as a son over his own house, whose house are we if we hold fast the confidence and the rejoicing of the hope firm unto the end? Those few verses make quite a contrast between Jesus and Moses, and you can see that Jesus is far greater than Moses, although Moses was a great leader. I've always appreciated those last few verses in the book of Deuteronomy, which say that there arose not a prophet in Israel like unto Moses. That's quite a statement. But as great as Moses was, Jesus is superior. Now we're showing that Jesus is God's spokesman today. What did God say at the Transfiguration? He said, "Hear ye him." Well, one of the main reasons why we need to listen to the Lord is he is God's spokesman today. At one time, God spoke to the children of Israel through Moses. But now he speaks to his people through his son, Christ. Another thing that we need to point out is that the law that God gave through Moses is no longer in effect. Colossians 2 and verse 14 says that Jesus took that law and nailed it to his cross. When Jesus died, he fulfilled the law, and it was taken out of the way. It was necessary for Jesus to die so that his new covenant would go into effect. Well, the old was taken away. So as God's spokesman, Jesus is far superior to Moses. We also need to remember that in the past, God spoke to the children of Israel through the prophets. Now, there are a number of prophets, and they're very interesting characters. They served the Lord through some very difficult times, and many times they were abused, but they served the Lord faithfully. As a matter of fact, James tells us not only to consider the patience of Job, but he also said, look to the example set by the prophets. Well, in the past, God spoke to the children of Israel through the prophets. One of the greatest prophets was Elijah. But keep in mind that as great as the prophets were, Jesus is far superior. Now let's go back to Hebrews chapter 1 for just a moment. We read verse 1 and the first part of verse 2 to show that Jesus is God's spokesman today. Remember, verse 1 says that in various ways and at different times, God spoke to the fathers by the prophets. But now he's spoken by his son to us. Now let's continue reading of a description of the son, and you tell me who is greater, Jesus or one of the prophets, including Elijah. Whom, speaking of Jesus, he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high. That's said about the Lord. Can that be said about any prophet? No, not even the great prophet Elijah. Remember, there were two men in the Old Testament who left this earth without going through the dying process. One was Enoch, the other was Elijah. He was one taken up into heaven by a whirlwind. But as great as Elijah was, Jesus is far superior. So in the past, God required his people to listen to Moses as well as the prophets. However, today, he requires us to listen to his son. I hope that you paid close attention to those songs we were singing a while ago, because they have to do with the wonderful words of our Lord. And as we listen to him, we need to have that request in our minds, break the bread of life to me. Well, Jesus is the bread of life, and we need to listen to his word. Well, how does the Lord speak to us today? That's a good question, and there seems to be a lot of confusion, but the Bible's not confused. The Bible teaches us that Jesus speaks to us through his word, which is the New Testament. Now, we showed in Colossians 2 and verse 14 that Jesus nailed the law, that is the law of Moses, to his cross, but then his new covenant became effective. Hebrews 9 and verse 15 says that Jesus is the mediator of the New Testament. The New Testament is far greater than the old. Under the New Testament, their sins and iniquities I will remember no more. I become concerned today when I hear people want to try to bring something from the Old Testament law and make it effective today. Well, I'll be the first one to acknowledge the fact that the Old Testament is the inspired Word of God. However, the law has been fulfilled. It's been taken out of the way. By the way, why were those things written? They were written for our learning, Romans 15 and verse 4. However, Jesus died, shed his precious blood, so that his new covenant would go into effect. And to try to go and bring something from the old covenant, can you see what that's actually saying to the Lord and his sacrifice? Well, Paul in Galatians says that if we seek to be justified by the law, we've fallen from grace. Well, the Lord speaks to us today through his word, which is the New Testament. And love for God in Christ will lead us to obey the will of the Lord. Now, the Father said, "Hear ye him," at the Transfiguration. We know that Jesus is God's spokesman today. Elijah and Moses were present. At one time, they spoke to the Israelites, but no longer. Today, Jesus is God's spokesman. And when he speaks, we need to respond to his word in the right way. 1 John chapter 5 and verse 3 says, "This is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not grievous." Also in John 14 and verse 15, Jesus said, "If you love me, keep my commandments." So love for God in Christ will lead us to obey the will of the Lord. Jesus is God's spokesman today. He reveals the will of God to us in his word, the New Testament. As we learn it, love for him will lead us to obey. Well, to help us do what God said, that is to hear ye him, listen to his son, let's consider five special features of the Lord's words that are found in the Gospel of John. Now, there are many more things that we could talk about, but we want to concentrate on five very special features of the Lord's words that are revealed in John. I believe this will help us realize how important it is that we do what the Father said, that is, hear ye him. First, and these are in no particular order of importance, But we have to start somewhere, so I guess this is just as good a place as any to start. The Lord's words are the Father's words. Now, all of these things are found in the Gospel of John, but we'll be looking at a number of different chapters and verses. John chapter 12, let's read verses 49 and 50. Chapter 12, verses 49 and 50, "For I have not spoken of myself, but the Father which sent me, he gave me a commandment what I should say and what I should speak. And I know that his commandment is life everlasting. Whatsoever I speak, therefore, even as the Father said unto me, so I speak." Also chapter 14 and verse 24. "He that loveth me not keepeth not my sayings, and the word which ye hear is not mine, but the Father's which sent me." The Lord's words are the Father's words. Now let's just use a little bit of old-fashioned reasoning and common sense. When God Almighty at the Transfiguration said, "Hear ye him," speaking of Jesus, in essence, what was he saying? He was saying, "Hear my words." Why? Because Jesus spoke the Father's words. Well, I believe that's a good reason for us to do what the Father said, that is, hear ye him. The words of Christ are the Father's words. Let's consider a second feature. This is another reason why we need to do what the Father said, that is, hear ye him. The Lord's words were validated by his works. There are a number of passages which show this to be the case. Let's look at chapter 3 for just a moment, John 3. And read verses 1 and 2. Notice the acknowledgement that a man named Nicodemus made. Verse 1 says, "There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi." Now, I've always thought that was a very interesting situation. Jesus later would refer to Nicodemus as the teacher of Israel. I'm assuming that he was an aged man, one who was highly respected. Jesus is about 30 years old. Here this teacher of the Jews comes to this young man and refers to him as rabbi or exalted teacher. That's quite an acknowledgement. I remember sitting at the feet of a number of my teachers when I was in school. And many of my teachers I learned to love and appreciate very much, and I considered it a pleasure and a privilege to sit at their feet and to listen to their instruction. But these men were older than I was. I was the younger one. I was the student. And it would be proper for me to show respect to them, which I always tried to do. But notice how the roles are reversed. Here's a teacher coming to this young man and referring to him as rabbi. "Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God." Now Nicodemus said, "We know that you're a teacher from God." On what basis? He said, "For no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him." Nicodemus and others had examined the things that Jesus did, and those works proved that he had come from God. So that's a very special feature of the Lord's words. The Lord's words were validated by his works, or the things that he did. Look also at chapter 14 and verse 10. Chapter 14 and verse 10 says, "Believest thou not that I am in the Father, and the Father in me? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me, he doeth the works." So when Jesus spoke, he spoke words that the Father gave to him. As he went about fulfilling his ministry, he did great works to validate the words that he spoke. And who was actually doing these works? Jesus said that the Father did. Now, these are reasons why we need to do what the Father said, hear ye him. In other words, why do we need to listen to the Lord? Well, let's continue. A third feature of the Lord's words is that they are unique. Look at John chapter 6, and let's read verse 63. Jesus described his own words. He said, "It is the Spirit that quickeneth. The flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life." The Lord's words are unique in that they are spirit and they are life. Now, that was the occasion when many of the Lord's followers turned their backs on him and walked no more with him. Jesus turned to the 12 and he said, "Would you also go away?" Now let's notice something that Peter said along the same line. Verse 68, "Then Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life." The Lord's words are unique. Not only are they spirit, not only are they life, but they're words of eternal life. Now let's look at something that's revealed in chapter 7. I remember studying the Gospel of John. This was pointed out by the teacher. It made quite an impression on me. You see, the Lord had some enemies. There were some people who wanted to get rid of him, and they were looking for something to use against him. Chapter 7, let's read a few verses starting at verse 30. "Then they sought to take him, but no man laid hands on him because his hour was not yet come. And many of the people believed on him and said, When Christ cometh, will he do more miracles than these which this man hath done? The Pharisees heard that the people murmured such things concerning him, and the Pharisees and the chief priests sent officers to take him." Now these are the religious leaders of the Jews. They sent some officers to take Jesus into custody, because they wanted to get rid of him. Well, let's read about these officers when they came back. Go down to verse 45. "Then came the officers to the chief priests and Pharisees, and they said unto them, Why have you not brought him?" Remember, the leaders of the Jews sent those officers to take Jesus into custody. Those officers returned, and the leaders wanted to know why they had not taken Jesus into custody. Look at verse 46. "The officers answered, Never man spake like this man." That's a wonderful statement. Now here are some men who were sent to take Jesus into custody. They came back. They didn't have the Lord with them. Why? They said, "No man ever spoke like this man." Apparently, they had an opportunity to listen to him for a little while, and the words of the Lord really impressed them. So much so that these officers did not take Jesus into custody. The Lord's words are unique. That's even acknowledged by some people who were sent to take Jesus into custody. Let's consider a fourth feature of the Lord's words that should motivate us to hear ye him, as the Father said. The Lord's words are associated with some very special blessings. Now, of course, we can't list all of them, but let's look at a few that are mentioned in the Gospel of John. John 5 and verse 24. John 5 and verse 24. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. Jesus mentioned everlasting life in connection with his words. Chapter 8, verses 31 and 32. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, if you continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Notice that by continuing or abiding in the Lord's words, we'll know something very special. That is the truth. What's so important about knowing the truth? Jesus said it is the truth that will make you free. He's talking about spiritual freedom. Well, that's a very special blessing. Look at chapter 15 and verse 7. Chapter 15 and verse 7, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Jesus was talking about having our prayers answered. Well, we certainly want the Father to answer our prayers, don't we? Well, there are some conditions. And Jesus said we must abide in him and we must allow his words to abide in us. But the very special blessing associated with that is having our prayers answered. And verse 14, ye are my friends if you do whatsoever I command you. I love the statement in the book of James about Abraham being the friend of God. That's quite an acknowledgement. Abraham has that distinction, being called the friend of God. It's spelled in my Bible with a capital F. But did you notice that we can be friends of the Lord if we will comply with his words? That's an even greater distinction than what Abraham had. So the Lord's words are associated with very special blessings. That's another reason why we need to do what the Father said and hear ye him. But we need to point out that the Lord's words are associated with some responsibilities. Look at chapter 14 and verse 21. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him and will manifest myself to him. Also verse 23, Jesus answered and said unto him, if a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him. Jesus showed that not only must we hear his words, but we must put them into practice. As he said, we must keep his commands. So there are some important responsibilities associated with the Lord's words. Let's hear Jesus as the Father commanded at the Transfiguration. Just those three words. Jesus was present along with Moses and Elijah, but the Father said, hear ye him. And he said that in reference to his son. He identified Jesus as his beloved son in whom he was well pleased. At one time, God spoke to his people through Moses. At one time, God spoke to his people through the prophets, Elijah being one of them. But now, Jesus is God's spokesman. And we need to do what the Father said, and that is, hear ye him. And as we listen to the Lord speak in his word, Let's hear with obedient hearts. We'll be blessed in return. Now, I mentioned something this morning. Today's a very special day for Teresa and me. It was 39 years ago today that I stood in a little pulpit up in West Tennessee and started preaching. I had preached about 8 or 10 sermons in Jacksonville, but I had enrolled at Freed Hardeman and was blessed with an opportunity to work with a little church about 30 miles from the school. I've made a lot of mistakes in the last 39 years. I'll be the first one to acknowledge them. But there's one thing I've always tried to do. The last verse in 2 Peter 3 says to grow in grace and in the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I've always tried in my teaching and preaching to help people grow in the knowledge of the Lord. If I can help people to appreciate how special the Lord's words are and encourage people to fulfill the responsibilities that God has given us concerning the words of His Son, then my life will have been well spent, regardless of the mistakes that I've made. That's something I've always tried to do. How successful I've been, I don't know. I'll leave the results up to the Lord. And don't ask Teresa, because she'll give you a straight answer. But this is very important, because our eternal destiny is at stake. Let's listen to the Lord's words as they are revealed to us in the New Testament, receive them in the right way, and put them in the practice. If we will follow that simple recipe, then we have eternal life to look forward to.